Mr. Gibson, real fire. Now, just pulling back a little bit, after you'd been wounded, we'd think probably on the 29th, but it might have been the 28th of August, you'd only been to capture a matter of hours, and so still the same day, and then you were picked up by the
French civilians.
And that was all the same day. And
Gibson to the village.
And was that all? Were you picked up then by the British unit on the same day?
Eventually, when I'd be probably the next day in the morning,
right?
Because it was dark.
And how were you evacuated back?
Evacuated by
And what medical treatment did you get on the way back at each stage?
I got medical treatment on the first aid post, sort of behind the lines.
What did they do for you?
Well, they just tied up my wounded foot, etc. And said that we're sending you back to England. So.
How did you feel about that? Because it's a classic blighty wound, a foot wound. I mean,
my God.
Were you pleased to be out of it, or would you rather have stayed and not be wounded?
Oh, I don't know. Probably be truthful to say yes. You're probably glad to be out of it just now. But when they picked us up, and they took us into this, it was a railway station of some kind. There was the most hell of a bloody clatter, and half the wall came down. And the hell is this? The Germans there, they sort of pushed off outside thinking there was something coming. But a German Red Cross corporal came in and he pulled Cliff and I out into the garden behind the wall and he said, "Keep your head down." Well, I didn't know anything about this until I'd been back in hospital in Worcester, down to Leinster, Leinster up to Chester, Chester up to Edinburgh, and I'm in Edinburgh one night, and who do I meet but my driver, Frank McLash. And I said, "Frank, I'm so glad to see you. I didn't know what happened." We said, "I got away." I said, "Where did you go?" He said, "I got back to Major Leeds, who was the second command, and I reported that there was an enemy in this railway." He says, and Dickie Leeds pulled up the 25 pounders and he said, "And we're not hell out of the place." I said, "Thanks very much, we were in there." He didn't know that, of course. But I mean, we got picked up back to the UK, and I see with hospital various places.
Now, these hospitals, I mean, is there much to tell about you? I mean, why did they move you so often?
Well, I went into hospital in Worcester. They moved me from Worcester to Leinster, which was a convalescent home. And then they moved me up to Chester to a convalescent area. And I had a job there teaching aircraft recognition for a bit. And then they said, "If you want to go home, near your home." So they moved me to Edinburgh at Glencross Barracks.
And you're on light duties?
Or well, yes.
How was your foot? I mean, what damage had been done to your foot?
I was so lucky. It went through there and out the bottom.
So through the top?
It didn't break a bone.
So it would heal fairly quickly, would it?
It did eventually, yes. But then they regraded me and...
What were you regraded as?
B2 or something.
So there was no question of you being posted back to your unit?
No.
Would you have wanted to? I mean, did you want to go back?
I think I would have liked really to have gone back. I mean, after all, I'd spent a long time with these boys. And what I hear now, I would like to have certainly gone back. But they sent me out. They sent me on down to Worksop, first of all, in Nottinghamshire, on an army administration course.
What were you doing there?
Just being taught army.
Clerical duties?
Yeah, clerical duties, yeah.
Which you knew?
They were teaching, you know, the orderly room procedure, etc.
And when was this?
VE Day.
You were there at VE Day?
Yeah, I
remember. What do you remember of VE Day?
I got very drunk.
Where at?
In Worksop.
How did you feel about it? I mean, you know, it had been a shadow over your life for six, 7 years.
Well, it was over, obviously, for everybody's sake. And then they sent me to Catterick, to the hell of all places. Because they had a unit in Catterick which had a commanding officer and an RSM, each who had one eye. And they were absolute sticklers for your kit being absolutely up to scratch, you know, given so long you're up to scratch. It was hell, anyway. But I'd only been, my luck last, you know, helped out again, because I'd only been there about a couple of days, and I got a message to go down to the orderly room, and they said to me, you're posted to this workshop. And from workshop I went home and leave, and they sent me out to India, and nobody knew why. Because when I arrived at...
When did you arrive in India?
A year before I got to Bombay, so it must have been sometime '45, and I stayed there for 46.
So you went out in, say, June. It was after VE Day.
Yes, it was
after VE Day. Not long after VE Day.
Oh, just after.
So it might have been May.
Yeah, it was about that. I took a draft out.
And you were going out as what? As a clerk or?
Well, I had a lovely War Office posting, I would think, along with another 7 or 8 bods. Went out there, arrived at Jamali.
Who were you posted to and what as?
Nobody knew.
You just posted to...
I arrived at Dulali and I saw the commanding officer there, and he says, what are you doing here? And I said, I don't know. I've just come out here. He said, well, I don't bloody well know what you're doing out here. He says, I suggest you find a place to put your kit down. So the next day he sent for me. He said, I still don't know what you're doing here. He said, but I'm needing a ration sergeant. Are you interested? And I said, if I can get a place to put my kit permanently, yes. So I did. But my posting came through a few days after. But he said, you're not going. You're staying here.
So you were a ration sergeant at Dulali Camp. Now, Dulali Camp, that was the camp before people went back,
Originally, Dulali was BBRC, the British Base Reinforcement Camp, which... They went to Clare, going to Burma, etc. Then Dulali and Kalyan swapped over, because Kalyan was a Homeward Bound. And Homeward Bound went up to Dulali, and we went down to Kalyan, and I stayed there until I came home.
And what were your duties as rations, Sergeant?
I had 2,000 British other ranks of ration, plus 30 followers. It caused me more trouble than 2,000 British other ranks.
Tell us, well, for the British, what was the job then as rations? What did you have to do?
Feed them.
And how did you manage that?
You simply indented for you something, picked it up and delivered it to the various places.
Delivered it to the cooks?
Yeah. The officers messed to the various... There's 4 corps in Kalyan. I was in the one which was people like RESCs and REC.
And what was the problem with the followers? What do you mean by followers?
Well, they used to change their religion every other week, and dependent upon their religion, they got different rations.
And who were they?
Indians. Oh, they were either rice eaters or arty eaters. So you know, we'd have all this, and then you say, oh no, I'm now a rice eater, so I didn't want to come home.
You enjoyed it out there. Did you get on well with the Indians?
Oh, yes.
And what about the climate and the culture and everything?
Well, it's very nice there around about that part of the world. It's not very far from Bombay, and Bombay's a beautiful climate.
And the culture?
Yeah, I liked it.
And what about your D-Mob then? That was around about...
26. 27 group.
27 group. So when was that?
When did you just... About March.
1946. And what happened on your D-Mob then? You were obviously brought back to Britain.
What happened? We were coming back, and then they at least asked at the camp there if Henry would be willing to fly home. And I'd have gone home in anything. And so we said, like, no. But then they said, well, you could be up for a boat. So we'll let you know. However, I came home in the Bombays of a liberator.
What was that?
Comfortable, quite cool, but it didn't matter.
How long did it take?
Well, we got bogged down in North Africa because it just so happened at that time the south of England was under snow and ice and planes weren't going in, so we got stuck in Castle Bonita for a bit. But the bits we did get home. Landed in Cambridge to London to Oxford, Oxford back to London, Edinburgh.
And what about your D-mob? What did you get?
Well, the usual.
What did you think of your suit?
Not a lot.
Did you ever wear it?
Oh, I did.
Was it useful? Because, I mean, you wouldn't have any civilian clothes, would you?
Well, no, well, I didn't change very much. I mean, in the body, etc.
So you could wear your pre-war ones?
Oh, yes, it could. I mean, my swats and things were fitting when it came home.
And was there a gratuity or grant?
Oh, yes, you got your gratuity. You got about £70.
That's quite a lot, then.
Oh, it was. I'm not complaining.
And what about getting back into civilian life? I mean, you'd got this, you were doing this job at the jute mill, but that wasn't a clerical job.
I had sat my civil service exam. When I was in India, we didn't come home. I wrote them a letter and asked them what my position was, and they wrote back to me and said that all appointments were scrubbed on the outbreak of war in 1939, therefore you can consider yourself as unsuccessful. So back I went home. And
how do you feel about that?
Not very happy. But I signed up for a course at the School of Economics in Dundee for business administration. And it was a 6-week course. They did not guarantee you a job at the end of it, but of course you went for it, you could get jobs. And I was there, and I was just finishing it, and I met my old commanding officer, Major Grant, after second fighting for Figure Money, who was a stockbroker. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing this course." He said, "Is there a job after?" I said, "I don't know yet." He said, "Well, I'm looking for somebody to take over my office. Do you want to come?" So I thought it over, and I said, "Right, I'll take it." A job's better than that, maybe. And I'd only been with him a couple of months, and I got a phone call. "You have been appointed to Bradford, if you want to go." So I went.
You went to Bradford?
I joined the postal service in Bradford.
We didn't mention Grant much, but I mean, mainly because we... What was Grant like as an officer?
Oh, he was a good bloke. He really was.
He was competent, was he?
Yes, he was. He was probably in the right job. I don't know just how competent he'd been if he'd been in the fighting squadron. But he was very good with the echelons.
Did he care about his men?
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes.
And, lastly, you got you back into civilian power. What about the effects of the war? Had there been any mental or physical effects, good or bad, of your war service?
No, I spent a lot of my time doing work for the Fighting for the Humanity Association.
Well, that's fine. Let's go on to that then, because you didn't rejoin the Territorials after the war, did you?
Oh, no. No, I decided not even the Christmas Club.
So, but you did join...
I joined the Association.
Now, when did you join that?
I joined the Association in 1946, when it started again. The very first dinner.
Were you one of the people who helped start that, I believe?
Yes.
People like Wilmot, Tommy Wilmot.
Tommy Wilmot and myself.
And why is it so important to you? And what does it do in your opinion? Why?
Oh, yeah, because perhaps the 6.5 years you spent in the army, you feel in many respects it was 6.5 years out of your life. But in many ways, it was a good 6.5 years. You learned to get on with people. You learn that you can do things. I wouldn't have swapped it.
And the association?
Association, I joined it. We have our reunion dinners. It's so great to meet up with folks you haven't seen for a long time and just talk about old times. Because old times during the war went bad. It was a good time. And you would never get caught by a chip like it anywhere else. I'm quite sure. There's something about there that gelled people together.
And is there a, I mean, does it look after some of the old comrades that have fallen on not so good?
Yes. Anybody who's in any trouble. I'm secretary treasurer, and have been for years. Tommy Wilmot's the chairman. I guess he lets it underground because unfortunately we've got no intake. And when the regiment just went, there was nobody coming in, but now we've got the squadron, so we're on very good.
That's a squadron based at Cooper Barracks.
That's right.
I'm not quite sure of the name of the squadron, but it's Sea Squad. Yeah, it's one of the joined up units.
That's a proper yeomanry, Scottish Horse, the Scottish Yeomanry. But Joe and his merry men, they come across to our dinners. It's wonderful to have them.
Thank you very much.